Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then we'll be moving to Psalm 127 as well. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then moving to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, beginning at verse 1, a short psalm, but a powerful psalm. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5, the entire psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak of their enemies in the gate. Verses 1 through 5, all of Psalm 127. And then the final passage, a familiar passage in the book, in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to read those last four verses one more time. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift, the precious gift and the treasure that we have in the children you've entrusted to us as parents and grandparents, as believers in the world. Thank you for the opportunity to be entrusted with the precious children you've entrusted to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be your vessels, to help mold and shape them, to help them to be that which you would have each and every one of them to be. Father, help each of us as parents listening, as grandparents, and as believers that desire to help, bless, and encourage our children. Help us to be faithful every day to pray much for our children, for our grandchildren, for the children of our communities. Help us to pray much for your hand of grace and your spirit and your word to be at work mightily in their hearts and their lives. Thank you for the opportunity for us to pray for our schools and the places where they go to be educated, to be prepared and equipped for life. And thank you for the opportunity for us to be role models as we walk before them, as we live before them, as we function in such a way where they can see what we do. Help us, Lord, to seek to be honorable and righteous role models walking before our children and before young people and children as a whole. Help us to live in so that more and more our lives will accurately and faithfully point them to Jesus Christ, and help them to grow in their understanding of how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and how to follow you as well. Lord, help us to make the most of the opportunity you give us to Help to mold and shape and guide and train and teach our children to be all that you want them to be. Thank you for this great and awesome responsibility and opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you listening in today. As we start off, let me start by sharing with you a challenge that we here at Urban Family Talk are trying to challenge and encourage every listener to get involved with. It's a prayer challenge simply entitled the Jehoshaphat Prayer Challenge. And let me share with you what this is all about. And I'll start off by simply sharing the scripture, the passage of scripture found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, that lays out the groundwork for the truths behind this prayer challenge. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your home, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." So we again encourage you, and once again that passage comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. Please take time to go back and read that whole chapter, because it's a powerful chapter, and the whole chapter tells the story in its entirety of what takes place within the bounds of chapter 20, and the powerful story of God's deliverance of Israel after Jehoshaphat humbles himself and leads Israel in humbling themselves before him and seeking him in fasting and in praying, seeking the Lord. And so keep this in mind as we survey what's the things that are going on in our country and in our culture and around the world. Our cry is we're asking God to really see and behold the things that are going on, to look at what the enemies are doing around us and what we, God's people, have been called to do. And we're encouraging you to pray this prayer as Jehoshaphat led Israel in praying as well. The prayer, "Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We want to encourage you to really take this very seriously, because this is an important time in our day and our culture, and so many things going on, and we very much need the hand of God to come, because the fact is there are problems out there that we just flat cannot fix. There are problems and difficulties and trials that we're facing as a church and as a culture that only God will be able to heal and fix and make what they need to be. Without God, again, they won't get fixed. They won't be repaired. They won't be turned around. So it's important for us to take this very important point seriously then. So again, our encouragement is that you gather daily or weekly with members of your family, your church, or a particular prayer group that you might choose to either be a part of or get involved with, and on a daily basis or on a regular basis, purpose to hold prayer meetings together, whether it's in your home, at your church, or in another place, might be in a restaurant, but a place where you come together, invite people to come together for times of praying and seeking God as a group. And Again, it might be your church family. It might be your Sunday school class. It might be your Bible study group. It might be just some brothers and sisters in Christ who've determined they're going to really take some time to come together and pray. Pray as the Holy Spirit leads and directs you. And we specifically and especially encourage you to pray much for our nation, the United States. Pray for leadership. Pray for unity. Pray for revival. Share what you have seen and continue to see God doing, but also just pray that the hand of God would be at work more and more mightily in our culture, in the midst of all that's going on, and in the upcoming election as well. Our aim and our goal is to recognize our dependence, our complete dependence on the Lord. And our goal is that we would pray that more and more God would move us beyond our own methods and devices to try to fix things and help us to put our trust and our faith in the Lord. Again, God can fix things when no one else can. God can bring healing and wholeness to a situation, to a circumstance like no one else can as well. So it's important then that we take prayer seriously. So we hope that you and whatever group you choose to be a part of, that you'll decide that you're going to take the Jehoshaphat Prayer Challenge very, very seriously. And if you'll do that, we would very much appreciate that. Also, let me remind you to, for those now, of course, I'm speaking obviously to people that live in the Tupelo community at this point, but also we're speaking to every other believer about this second matter. We want to invite you and your church family or your prayer group or any group that you may choose to be a part of. It might simply be you and your family to come out to the Garden of Hope. Found it. The address is 100 Parkgate, right behind Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The beautiful prayer garden is called the Garden of Hope. And we're inviting you to come out and be a part of the prayer outreach that will take place. Now, what we're pursuing doing is for the whole month of August, signing up individual churches or prayer groups that will take one 6 p.m. slot of time. In other words, select one single day in the course of the month where you and your church family or your prayer group, your Sunday school group, or it might be simply your family, will come out at 6 p.m. and pray in the garden. Now, again, we have some items we'd like to email you upon your deciding that you want to participate. But on the other hand, too, you're welcome to come and pray the things that are on your heart. They may include the matters that we send to you or some of the prayer tools we send to you. They may include a whole different set of things, but we invite you to come out and be with us. If you'd want to participate in this, you can simply call us at this number, 1-662-844-5036, extension 381, and ask for me, Joseph Parker. Again, 662-844-5036, extension 381. And we'd be glad to sign you up as well as email to you some prayer tools and some items that you and your group can use. And so if you'll call us up and let us know what day in the course of August that you could come at 6 p.m. And again, we're doing this 7 days a week for the entire month of August as we move forward with this project. So if you'd like to come and plug your group in, just simply call us at that number for one 6 p.m. slot. You can pray for 15 minutes. You can pray for 30 minutes, an hour. That's up to you. But we invite you to come to this beautiful garden, the Garden of Hope, this prayer garden, and spend time praying and lifting some of the concerns and issues up before the Lord. Once again, that number is 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. Ask for me, Joseph Parker, and we'll be glad to put you down on the schedule. Lord, thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give all of us of being involved in the work, the great work of prayer in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. Lord, fill us all afresh, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. More and more empower us to be the praying people you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
You shall not murder. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Two ISIS knife men stormed into a Catholic church in Normandy and forced an over 80-year-old priest to his knees. They recited some sort of sermon in Arabic and shouted Allahu Akbar as they beheaded the priest at the altar. One of the assailants was already being monitored electronically by the French authorities because he twice tried to go to Syria to join ISIS there. His bail terms allowed him to be unsupervised between 8:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. The priest was killed between 9 and 11 a.m. It was later revealed that the Catholic Church was on a terrorist hit list found in the apartment of another ISIS terrorist in April of 2015. There is objective evil in the world.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
One of my granddaughter's classmates was killed in a car accident. She was only 3 years old, and it was difficult for everyone involved to grasp her being gone. It seemed so senseless on our end, but for those who are believers, we understood that the Lord makes no mistakes. How we were able to get 2- and 3-year-olds to understand what actually happened was difficult at best, but we shared the love that God has for us and prayed for God to do the rest. And I couldn't help but think about how difficult it is for adults to grasp death. So how in the world were we going to get children to accept what God allowed? In your life, understand that God makes no mistakes. He is all-wise, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He not only knows what's taking place, but is able to adjust the now to make the future what it needs to be. Trust God today and sleep peacefully, knowing that He's got it all under control. Accept what God allows. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
One of America's most famous lighthouses, Cape Hatteras Light, has been guiding ships for nearly 2 centuries and weathering more than 100 hurricanes. So many lights that we depend on don't always survive the storms. The marriage we thought would last forever, the person who let us down, our health. We need something that's unshakable to guide us through the toughest times. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the one certain light that your heart needs. Only He can remove the wall of sin between you and God. For all your storms, dark times, and even for your final journey, there's a light that will always be there. His name is Jesus. To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or visit needhim.org.
Listening to Marvin Sapp, the song Possess the Land. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Once again, I want to encourage you to go to the Urban Family Talk website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And you can get more information about the Jehoshaphat Prayer Challenge. We encourage every listener to get involved. And again, make it your goal to get involved with a prayer group or form a prayer group that will begin to really pray much for our nation, for our culture, for our young people, pray for our leaders, and pray for young men, young women, pray for those in authority in your city, the mayor, the city alderman. Pray for firemen, policemen, and persons that are public servants. So many matters that we need to bathe in prayer. We hope that you'll get involved. Please, again, go to the website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and learn more about the Jehoshaphat Prayer Challenge. Again, today, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you that we're an encouragement. We're giving an encouragement to you on a regular basis that if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start. Because remember this, like it or not, you and I are involved in spiritual warfare, and so are our children. As much as we wish that weren't the case, it's just the way it is. Every single day of our lives, we're involved in spiritual warfare. And it's important that we take it seriously. And because we're involved in spiritual warfare, we have to function as soldiers would in times of warfare. We can't afford to function as civilians. We're soldiers in the armies of God as believers, and we're to be soldiers that are well-equipped, who understand the nature of the battle, and who are equipping ourselves daily with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the things of God that help to prepare us. And we're functioning that way, and also we're teaching and training and molding our children to do the very same thing. So today, we're specifically looking at the topic of preparing our children for battle. And, of course, as we were speaking of on last week as well, this is right at the beginning of a new school year, and what better time would there be or could there be than helping our children prepare for the battles of life by helping them to do doing all that we can to help them both to come to be saved and help them to grow up and grow strong in their faith and their walk with God. So keep in mind, for every parent listening, if you know that your children are not saved, or you suspect that they're not, or you're not sure but you feel like maybe they're not, it's very important for us to know, every one of us as dads and moms, that we should do all within our power to help each of our children to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Again, the single most important decision any human being makes is that decision to choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and that includes our children as well. So to every parent listening, I want to invite you to make this your goal. And again, I'm speaking of something you can do at home, in your living room, or in your children's rooms, or wherever you may choose to do that. But invite your children to make that step to ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts as Lord and Savior. Remember this, it's so important to know that the most important decision for every child as well as adult is that decision to receive Christ. And the fact is, lots of people, obviously, they get saved in church or in a church or Christian setting. But there are a whole lot of people that have gotten saved right in the quietness of their own home because they took the time to pray, or someone led them in a prayer of salvation. For parents listening, I want to encourage you to make it your goal to invite your children, your very young children, to, again, both to hear the gospel and invite them to pray the prayer with you at home. Now, keep in mind, for some, they may not have ever heard of such because they think, well, I'm used to people getting saved at church. Well, that's good and fine. But, you know, the reality is it's important that you don't just try to wait simply for them to be impacted by the gospel at church. You can do it at home. So I want to take the time now to lead us in a salvation prayer. And there might be an adult that might be listening that may recognize the his or her need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Or there may be a child or children listening that may recognize they need to do the same. But parents, this too is a prayer, a kind of prayer that we're wise to pray with our children on a regular basis. Now, keep in mind, once a person makes the step of receiving Christ, they're saved. But, you know, it's wise for us to recommit and rededicate our hearts and our lives to the Lord. So you can pray this as a salvation prayer or a rededication prayer, a prayer whereby you lead your child in recommitting his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But keep in mind, knowing how to do this, dads and moms, is very important. And doing it is very, very important because, again, lots of our children can and will come to be saved as we take the time to both share the gospel with them and invite them to pray a prayer such as this one. So, again, basically, the gospel consists of the truths of John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If any man or woman or boy or girl or a child, if they believe, if they understand that Jesus Christ came to the world, he lived, and that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for sin, and that 3 days later he rose up from the dead so that we could be saved, then that's an important part of what we need to believe and understand about the gospel. And also, if we confess that we've sinned and done wrong, ask the Lord to forgive us and make us brand new, and invite Jesus Christ to come in as Lord and Savior, he will do it. Let's take a moment now, and again, to any listener, any adult, man or woman, boy or girl that's listening, if you want to make that step, you're not sure that you've made it, but you recognize that you need to make this step, we invite you to make this step to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior even now. Would you pray this prayer with me now? Lord Jesus, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong I've done, and I now repent and turn from all the wrong that I've done. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you came to this world, that you lived, that you died on the cross to pay for our sins, and 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person that you want me to be. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now declare that I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, to every person that's listening, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we'd really like to hear from you. You can simply call us at this number if you'd like. Then number, area code 662-844-5036, extension 381. Again, 662-844-5036, extension 381. Or if you'd like to email us, we'd be glad to hear from you. And also, we'd like to send you some information that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your faith and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'll contact us, we'd really like to hear from you. But again, to every parent listening, parents, on a regular basis, we're wise to invite our children to take the time and opportunity to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts as Lord and Savior, or to pray it as a rededication prayer, recommitting their hearts and their lives to the Lord. Lots of young people have come to know Jesus Christ because their parents led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, every single parent listening loves the idea that all of his or her children will be with them in heaven one day. Parents, let's do all we can. Let's do our part to help our children come to know Christ and to begin to grow up in their faith as well. So again today, as we're looking at the topic of preparing our children for battle, keep in mind, like it or not, our children have to face spiritual warfare every single day, just like we as adults do as well. And it's important that we take seriously the responsibilities God entrusts to us. Well, what are those responsibilities? What is it that God calls upon us as parents to do to prepare our children for the battlefield and the battlefields of life? Well, again, looking once again in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us very clearly, one of the very important tasks is we're to be teaching and training our children in the things of God and training them in spiritual things. Again, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Verses verses 4 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Part of what God is saying to us, dad, to every dad and mom listening, and also granddads and grandmoms, many times we'll have the opportunity to both impact and or in many instances raise our children or our grandchildren. Well, part of what God is calling us to do is to basically create an atmosphere full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the things of God in your home. In other words, the reading of God's Word should be a regular part of your household between everyone, the obviously dad and mom, and the children as well. Praying in the home should be a part of the culture of your family and your home. Praying at home should not be something strange, obviously, to you or to your children. Your children should grow up seeing dad and mom pray for them and pray over them. They should regularly hear dad and mom calling out their names in prayer. Again, we want you to keep this in mind, that basically God is calling for us to create a culture of grace in your home, again, where the Word of God is a vital part of the lifestyle of the family, reading it, and praying is a vital part of the lifestyle of the family, praying together and praying and leading the children in prayer as well. And parents, I want to encourage you to keep in mind, if we teach and train our children to pray, we've helped them to gain one of the most important spiritual skills in all of life and in all the world. God's Word tells us in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7, very simply, it says, ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. I can't overemphasize how important it is that, again, obviously that we pray as individual believers, dads and moms and as husbands and wives, but also it's so important that as we help our children grow up in their faith, if they learn how to pray and pray effectively, again, that will help them and that tool will bless them tremendously their whole life long. Reading specifically, again, chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. So parents, if we teach and train our children, we're teaching and training them to walk with God. We're teaching and training them to grow up in the things of God. So that's how they'll mature and grow in their faith. Once your sons and your daughters have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you teach and train them and guide them in learning to start to read the Word of God every day, you've blessed them tremendously. Remember, the Bible, God's Word, God's written Word, is a powerful and wonderful tool. And remember, the Word of God is pregnant with the ability to bless us. It's full of grace. It's full of light. It's full of peace. It's full of power. And when we read and meditate on the Word of God and speak the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, we're putting to use and putting in great use in our homes and in our lives God's precious and powerful Word. So I want to encourage your parents on a daily basis, and make it your goal to help each of the children to come before you and read out loud. Again, I like to encourage your goal to reading at least 3 chapters every day. And parents, that's a wonderful way to help prepare your children's hearts and minds to enter this new school year, helping them fill up on the Word of God every single day. Now, it takes time and doesn't necessarily have to take a long time, but it's important to make that a part of your daily routine, a time where you're getting the children together to read the Word of God out loud together and to pray together as well, having them to learn to pray the Lord's Prayer, having them to learn how to pray the Ten Commandments, simple prayers that don't take long at all, but are powerful prayers that help empower them to walk with God, to serve God, to follow God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for every family listening to make it a priority every day to come together, to pray together, and to read your Word. Help every parent listening to have it instilled in their heart the need to make this a high priority and help them to follow through with it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of preparing our children for battle. We'll be right back.
In case you missed it.
Well, I wear my expressions on my face, so Dainty C would know right off if you say something that I don't like.
Okay.
And it could, you know, on my part, it may not even be intentional.
But what if your husband's face is always serious? I never know.
But no, you got that face. Every husband has that disapproval face.
Yeah, they do. Y'all do. No. That's ridiculous.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This show becomes massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ. Charles Spurgeon would take any topic and drive that topic home in the heart of the gospel. And that's what we need to do as Christians, have enough self-awareness where we can look and say, what's happening in the world around me and how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus?
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
After crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God instructed the children of Israel to take stones from the river and make a memorial. When their future children would say, "What do these stones mean?" the parents would recount the Lord's deliverance of Israel from slavery and Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. In each of our lives, there are events that ought to be remembered, events where the Lord moved and delivered us. Whether we use stones, photos, or special celebrations, it matters only that we take time to remember what the Lord has done and pass that testimony on to future generations.
Since 1977, the American Family Association has been informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. The Lord has given us many victories over the years that laid the foundation for our work today and into the future. Learn more at afa.net.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's important to understand who's on your side and who isn't, especially when it comes to spiritual things. He'll share a powerful illustration with us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Like a lady who looked in a rearview mirror and there was a big truck behind her, and sitting up in the truck was a man, and the man was following her. When she turned right, he turned right. When she turned left, he turned left. When every way he turned, he pulled the big rig right behind her. So she's getting terrified. She's getting scared. She's trying to shake this guy. She can't shake this guy. This guy is showing up wherever she turns. But finally, she's terrified because she doesn't know where this is going. So she pulls into a gas station. She jumps out of the car. She runs into the store that's associated with the gas station because she doesn't know what this guy in this big truck is up to. When she jumps out the car and runs into the store, the guy gets out of the big truck and he comes to her car. He pulls open the back seat and he takes a man who had slipped into her car to do damage to her. In other words, she was running from her Savior. She was running from the one who was to deliver her. But because she didn't have the right perspective of who he was, she didn't get the full benefit of what he came to do. He was sitting high, looking low, saw the situation. But because she didn't have that perspective, she didn't look at him the right way. Many of us are missing what Jesus is trying to do. And we think the one who's after us is trying to hurt us when the one who's after us is trying to deliver us from something else that's trying to hurt us. But unless you have that perspective, you'll miss out on the one who's sitting as high priest, the one who's sitting on the throne, the deliverer.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' Book of Illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
listening to Micah Stampley with the song I Believe. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of preparing our children for battle. And as we, many of us, are preparing for the new school year for our young children or our older children as well, it's important for us to help do all we can to help equip our children with the most important things in life they can be equipped with. First and foremost, do all we can to help each of them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And once they're saved, it's important for us to help to teach and train them to be persons whose lives are given to prayer, persons who daily fill their hearts and their minds with the Word of God. And so part of that, parents, it's our responsibility to help, again, teach and train our children both how to pray and help them to, on a daily basis, to come before us and read out loud to us. So for many families, some of the best time may be in the evening, having your children to come in the living room and read out loud to dad and or mom. But sometimes it might be they can read while you're riding in the vehicle. Sometimes it might be on the way to school or coming back from school where you pick them up and they're reading the Word of God out loud to you. But have them read God's Word on a daily basis. Remember, God's Word is pure light. It's grace, it's peace, it's power. It's the Word of God. Again, it's pregnant with the ability to bless. So if you help your children to read the Word daily, it's pouring grace, peace, power, and strength into their mind, their heart, their life. Your children need that. My children need that. Every child needs that. So parents, it's important for that to be a high priority for us to help our children read God's Word out loud to us every day. It'll bless them tremendously. And of course, it'll bless you too as you listen. So establishing the habit of helping your kids to read out loud every day is very important. Now, for parents that will say, well, you know, we're just so busy, we're running in so many different directions, we have so many activities, sports activities, soccer, football, baseball, ballet class, or whatever else your children may be involved in, all kinds of things, cheerleader practice, and lots of things kids are involved in nowadays. Parents, let me be very clear with you. Sometimes you need to leave some things off because remember this, none of those things will help our children come to know the Lord and to grow strong in the Lord. Remember, they need Jesus Christ more than they need the air that they breathe. So it's important that we keep our priorities straight. Be sure that we make time to help our children get into God's Word every day. Be sure that we make time to teach and train them, to guide them in prayer. So having our children to read out loud to us is so important. Parents, it's so important. Often we need to set some other things aside, put some other things down. Sometimes we need to turn off the TV, turn off the MP3 player, turn off the headphones, put the cell phone down, put the video games down, set all those things aside, and have your child to just simply read God's Word out loud to you. Again, 3 chapters a day really is not that much. You can read your average 3 chapters in 12 to 15 minutes. Doesn't take long. Remember, it will bless your child tremendously, dad and mom. Money could never buy the good it will do your child to fill her or his mind daily with God's precious word. This needs to be a priority. So teaching, guiding, and helping them to read God's word daily, and also talking about it. Don't just read and have them to read only. Talk about what the word means. Now, let me remind you too, I really would encourage you to make it a goal to really help your children on a regular basis to read the Ten Commandments and talk about what the Ten Commandments mean. Remember, you find in one of the places you find the Ten Commandments is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. You also find it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 22. Well, keep in mind, the Ten Commandments are wonderful passages from Scripture that you can have the children both to read, but you really want to talk to them about the meaning of each one because it will make their lives richer and fuller. The Ten Commandments cover every part of life, and through teaching and training your children to know them and to live by them, you'll help equip your child to be successful in life. Because, for example, as we pray the Ten Commandments, we're both learning and teaching them at the same time, and as they're learning it, it's helping them to live a fuller and a richer and a more blessed life. Let's take time now to pray the Ten Commandments. Let's pray it together. And also, parents, you learn better how to help lead your children in praying the Ten Commandments every day. And remember, it may take all of 60 seconds to pray. It doesn't take long to pray the Ten Commandments at all. Let's take a moment to do that. Lord, thank you for this day. Help us, Lord, today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Lord, help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Father, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us, Lord, to not commit adultery. Help us to not covet. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, it doesn't take long at all, but remember, Dad and Mom, when you help your children to pray a prayer like praying the Ten Commandments, it will bless them tremendously, because remember, when you pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. Parents, one of the great ways whereby we can prepare our children for this school year and prepare them day by day to go out and to address and deal with the challenges of the day, help them to pray every day before they leave home, or maybe while they're in the vehicle on their way to school, but help them to be sure that they prayed before they start the school day every single day. And remember, it's one of those things, we can do it if we choose to do it. We can make time to do it if we choose to, but if we don't make time, it's not going to happen by itself. So parents, let's be sure that we do that. Also, remember, another great prayer to pray every day with your children is the Lord's Prayer. Again, takes all of maybe a minute, 60 seconds to pray, not a long prayer at all. And it's found in Matthew chapter 6 for persons that may not necessarily know it by heart. Parents, we need to teach and train our children to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. If it wasn't an important and a strategic prayer, Jesus wouldn't have taught it to us. But apparently it's a very strategic and a very fruitful prayer for any and all of us to pray and to teach our children to pray as well. So again, as we're talking today about the topic of preparing our children for battle, one of the great ways whereby you do that is you help them to pray daily and read God's word daily. So if your children learn how to pray, we'll bless them tremendously. I want to share with you a touching but a very powerful reading here. It's simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. I envy Kevin, my brother. Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom and stopped, and I stopped to listen. Are you there, God? Kevin said. Where are you? Oh, I see, under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement. But that night something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. He was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2". There are few things in which and whereby he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he is different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. He does not seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for the next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it is begun, and he does not leave a job until it's finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes that everyone tells the truth. He believes that promises must be kept. And when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he's hurt, angry, or sorry. He's always transparent, always sincere, and he trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that is difficult for a so-called educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my Christianity, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I'm most willing to admit that he has some kind of divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then I realize that perhaps he's not the one with the handicap. Maybe I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day when the mysteries of heaven are open and we are all amazed at how close God really is in our hearts, I'll realize that God heard the prayer, the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. Again, as we close our broadcast for today, I want you to keep in mind that story illustrates an important truth. As we teach and train our children with whatever challenges and difficulties they may have in life, we teach them to come to know God, to walk with God, to trust God, to pray to God, to look in his word and to trust his word. We've equipped them with the most important equipment of all, the ability to know and walk with God. Again, like it or not, Dad and Mom, every granddad, every grandmom listening, our children are facing spiritual warfare. The battles of life are all around, but if we've equipped them with Jesus Christ, if we've taught them how to seek God in prayer, and if we've taught them and trained them to read and meditate on God's word and to put God's word in their mind and their heart, we've given them the most important and critical equipment for all of life. Parents, let's stay on our job to do just that. Lord, more and more, help every parent as we begin this school year to make it a high priority to help each of our children come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to make it a high priority to teach and train them to pray, to make it a high priority to teach and train them to read God's word every single day. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening today. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.